Hello and welcome to the Intelligent Marketing Podcast. My name is Moyosola Kara. I'm a senior marketing specialist who has built marketing functions for brands across the globe. On this podcast, I bring into conversation some of the smartest people I know into honest, jargon-free conversations that will make you, the listener, a smarter strategist. This is a podcast not just for marketers, but for founders, commercial leaders, and operators. My first guest is someone I'm incredibly fortunate to know. Here's Oleg Tolkachev. I hope you enjoy. Hello and welcome. I am your host, Moyosola Kara. Welcome to the Intelligent Marketing Podcast. Today, we are joined by none other than the Oleg Tolkachev, a man I've been vying to get on the podcast for some time now. Oleg works within the group and marketing and communications function at UniCredit. UniCredit is one of the largest banking groups in Europe with a strong presence in Italy, Germany, Austria, Central and Eastern Europe. Oleg is also a member of the Chartered Institute of Marketing, United Kingdom, and a certified practicing marketer at the Australian Marketing Institute. Thank you for joining us today, Oleg.
Thanks for having me, Moya. I'm glad to be here.
Fantastic. So today we have a title that I know that you can't wait to sink your teeth in. We're going to be talking about navigating the future of marketing with data and innovative technology. Now, I know that that has been essentially the crux of your entire marketing career. But for those who don't know you, can you just speak to your career journey and how you got here? Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure, with pleasure. I've been working in marketing for over 13 years, and the past 10 years were in banking. So I worked in three countries. I graduated in Moscow, and I started my career at PwC. Back then, it was business development, marketing communications, and business development function. Then I moved to a couple of other large banks, and then I joined UniCredit. And I worked at Strategic Marketing Commercial Strategy team, which was a part of CIB. Then I had an interesting experience in Turkey. We had a branch called Yapı Kredi, where I was a digital banking expert. And then I moved to Milan, and I've been working here for over 5 years in group marketing communications, doing strategic marketing, data research, and intelligence and events.
That sounds really interesting. Your career has been very illustrious, Oleg. And I'm just really curious, having started your career in financial services so far back, you must have a real sense of how the industry has evolved over the years. Your company, for example, UniCredit and Ferrari, just recently announced a multi-year premium partnership, you know, bringing together two icons of Italian excellence. I'm sure this isn't an alliance that anyone could have predicted in the days of traditional marketing. How do you think that marketing has evolved, given that we are now living in a data-driven world?
Yeah, thank you for your question. Let's dive in. Absolutely. You're right. I think we all agree that marketing and business has really transformed over the past decade, and mainly by advancements in technology and data analytics. I think we all see now that marketing is not just, you know, about creating catchy slogans or eye-catching ads. Mm-hmm. Now we have tools that can analyze vast amounts of data in real time, and they allow us to understand and predict customer behavior like never before. And I think we all see that these tools can automate processes, personalize messages, measure effectiveness more accurately. And it's not just about, you know, selling more. It's about creating a more meaningful interactions, mm-hmm. more meaningful relationships with clients. And I think we now live in a new Renaissance era. With all this digital technology that we have, I think we have a potential to unlock so much more and to create absolutely disruptive campaigns. And especially the last few years have been a game changer with the rise of AI So n now we've got this insane computing power that lets us dig through heaps and heaps of data. But here's the real thing. Even with all these fancy tools, marketing is not just numbers. It's, you know, it's about understanding people. And let's be honest, people can be very unpredictable. They don't always follow what the numbers say they should. And this is what exactly keeps us awake. It's all about mixing hard data with good read on human nature, which doesn't always follow a script. And marketing is psychology. To the large extent, it's psychology. It keeps things interesting, right? And about your question regarding the partnerships, I think the partnerships are really important. This is one of the most interesting driver in marketing. I think I would split this topic into two. I see two types of partnerships: business partnerships and marketing partnerships. So if we speak about business partnerships, this is obviously something that supports business growth. This is usually a partnership between companies that operate in one industry or in a similar industry. So, for example, banks can partner with payment systems like Visa, MasterCard, American Express, or I don't know, Red Bull had a partnership with GoPro cameras with extreme equipment, and it really was beneficial for both companies. And on the other side, I see marketing partnerships, and this is where the magic happens, in my opinion. So I find it really fascinating when companies partner with each other from completely different areas. Like, for example, Nike and Apple, Lego and Adidas, Audi and Marvel, W and LV, FC and Crocs, which was absolutely crazy, but still very, very memorable and very effective. And UniCredit and Ferrari, I think they're both very strong brands. They're both united with passion, with excellence, and there's a lot of potential synergy. And I think the synergy is the key word in all the partnerships. I know it's one of the most annoying words in the corporate world, but in simple terms, I think that synergy is something that arises when 1 + 1 = 3. So when a combination of two brands, for example, give a high result than a simple sum would provide. It also helps reach wider audiences for both brands. And so find when 1 + 1 = 3 and build a partnership around this.
I love what you say about so two things for me, I think stood out from what you said. I'll start with the former, which was what you said around it's so important to be able to mix hard data with, human nature, which to a huge extent is still unpredictable. And even with predictive analytics, we're finding that even that, whatever formula you develop is still flawed at best, because like you said, human beings are unpredictable. And so I like that. And I think that's really important to highlight, because I hear things like, data, technology, AI is going to replace the marketing expertise. But I actually think that it's quite the opposite. It is that these two things actually need to, the marketing expertise, as well as AI, as well as all the supporting tools and technology, need to find a way to coexist, because your expertise as a human being can never be replaced. And so I think that's really important to highlight here, even as we talk about, as we dive into other topics around data and tools and technology. I also quite like the thing that you said around how there are two types of partnerships, around business, and there's the business partnership and there's the marketing partnership. And I want you to explain a little bit how you, one, distinguish between the two, and even as a partnerships manager who's listening in now, how can they really identify when 1 + 1, like you said, will be equals to 3? Are there key criteria that you've, that you can share with us, or are there certain benchmarks that you can share with us that would be useful in really defining what a good partnership would look like?
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, honestly, I'm not an expert in partnerships, and it's not what I was driving working in this bank. So I'm not sure I can share the concrete examples of how to define when one plus one equals three.
Mm.
But what is obviously I can share is that you need to begin the process with understanding business objectives. So this is very obvious. And also marketing partnerships are also much about business. So it's of course something that also supports business growth. And of course you need to know where you want to achieve. You need to ensure that you set the right metrics, you set the right KPIs, and the metrics provide you with actionable results. And I think we can think about maybe GPS on your road trip. So you need to know your destination and the best stops along the way. And like, what are you aiming for? More sales, more visits, more wider audience, more visits on your website, more people talking about your brand on social media. So pin that down first, then figure out the milestones, like how many people are interested in both brands, where do you see an overlap, and think about the funnel, of course. But again, don't reinvent the wheel. I think we've got all resources that you need around you. You can tap into almost all human knowledge online. Just look up expert advice, find business cases, read success stories. There's tons of literature out there, and talk to more experienced colleagues, chat with your friends, reach out to peers and professional organizations, which I, by the way, highly recommend joining. There are online tools for research, AI tools. There's so much available now. So you cannot just, throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks because you like a certain brand or you have, personal preferences. Keep in mind that least costly mistakes are made during the planning phase. So plan thoroughly and use best practices.
Sounds good. And I love how you said there's so much literature that abounds, actually, due to technology, right? There's so everything is at your disposal now. So you have these resources, use them to your advantage. And you've nicely segued into my next question, which was really around, in your role and from your data fluent experience, how can marketeers leverage data and innovation to stay ahead in the competitive marketing landscape?
All right. Well, I like your questions. They're not easy, but I'm happy to share my thoughts. Yeah, I think data is really marketers' best buddy, best friend in this super competitive landscape. Well, just like that, by diving deep into data, we can get inside track of what customers are thinking about, what they feel, and most importantly, what they might want next. So it is also a lot about experiences that resonate. And it's also important to see what competitors are up to. So when you know what they're doing, like what promotions they're running or what messages they're pushing, you can be smarter. You can stay one step ahead and really tailor offerings that fill gaps that others might be missing. Yeah, I think this is what thriving in a competitive landscape is all about.
And I'm really curious to know, because you've mentioned some campaigns that I thought were really interesting and some partnerships that were really, I think, evolutional, even with the revolutional, what are some of the trends? And I know you have a lot to say about this. What some of the trends in marketing and technology that excite you the most right now?
Well, that's a great question. I'm afraid I can talk hours, and I'm not sure that you're
I
interested in
figured.
that. Yeah. Well, let's maybe, if we talk about the emerging trends and emerging technologies in marketing, I think that first of all, certainly AI. There's so many AI tools out there. And yesterday, I discovered a portal called Spaces from Hugging Face. It's a library with heaps and heaps of tools for any case. Oh, there's another website which is called There Is an AI for That. So whatever you do, there's already an AI-powered tool that can,
Oh, you need
help
to share
you.
that link with me.
Well, whatever you do can most likely already be optimized with AI tools or AI-powered tools. And so many tools that marketers currently use get more and more AI-powered features. also the tools that we used to know and to use before. So number one is certainly AI, but I also think a lot about VR, AR and VR, so virtual reality. I think metaverse trend, which was really hot a couple of years ago, was a bit ahead of time. I think its time will probably come a little bit later. I think the problem was complexity and this Web3 blockchain-based virtual worlds were not easy to comprehend. And a lot of people were thinking that just, a multiplayer online game is the metaverse, which is not. And the technology developed so fast. So Apple introduced their VR headset. There are rumors that Samsung and other big techs are planning to introduce other ones that are lighter, cheaper. So I think metaverse could be potentially interesting in the midterm, and its time may come back. Then, speaking about more futuristic things, quantum computing. This is something that really excites me. That I'm not sure I understand everything, but I'm trying. I'm getting to more familiar with the technology. But oh my God, once a really stable quantum computing is introduced, it will change every aspect of our life. It may seem it's still futuristic, but the development is so fast, and probably AI and neural networks will support and boost the development. But I already saw that some consultancies, some big names, already started offering a service called "Is Your Organization Quantum Ready? We can help you and make an assessment and suggest improvement," something like this. But still, it's a little bit of a fantasy. But on the other hand, what is really interesting is that with all this AI tools and digital technology and emerging trends, there's another rising trend of digital detox. And people are overwhelmed with information, of notifications, multiple devices, screens. They just crave nature. They would like to disconnect. There are even dumb phones. So a trend when people started buying old Nokias and phones that are intentionally dumbed down to basic features like SMS and calls, just to disconnect, to relax a little bit. I saw, there's another trend when people are so obsessed with phones and their screen time is so high that they intentionally turn on the grayscale mode. Because when everything is black and white on your phone, it's not as appealing, and you cannot stick to your phone for hours. So when I saw a couple of people on the conference lately with the grayscale, I said, "Okay, so you're practicing?" Yeah, I am. So, and also when I'm speaking about it, it's just also marketers feel that it's a good trend. And for example, there was a campaign from Heineken, the beer producer, that introduced the dumb phones, and there was a raffle or a lottery, and you could win a very, very basic phone, which was like a transparent black and white phone, a flip phone, and it was supposed to disconnect you from the distractors and concentrate on your friends, family, and parties. That was really, really interesting. I didn't win this phone, but I'm still
No,
following
that
such
I'm
campaigns.
smiling so widely because that sounds right up my alley. I recently took on photography again. I picked up my camera after what? It's been more than 3 years now, so that I can actually go outside and take pictures without my phone, because I realized that I'd like to capture nature and the landscape, and I like to go hiking, but I don't necessarily want to take my phone, but I want to create memories. And so I started going out with my camera, but without my phone, because it does get noisy and it does get so, saturated. You do get saturated with technology. I have a thing that comes on where after 7 p.m., my phone just goes off because I don't want to spend my time mindlessly scrolling through social media. So yes, I was smiling as you spoke about the digital detox because that sounds very much my end of the street. But it's so fascinating how technology is really evolving and how, you know, there's so many different tools at our disposal, like you said, for really optimizing the way that we do business. And one thing that you talked about very early on, just as we started the conversation, was around how, you know, now you can personalize your marketing. So I really want to talk about, you know, how you balance the use of customer data for personalization, whilst also ensuring that privacy and compliance with regulations like GDPR is, you know, you're compliant.
Well, that's a tough one. You know, once at a seminar, I was told that if you don't know the answer, you can just say it depends, or there should be the right balance. And I love your question. And here I think there should be the right balance. And this is true, but perhaps what is more interesting for you is how to find that right balance. And yeah, it's challenging for marketers to strike the right balance between personalization on one hand and strict regulatory standards on the other. But regulation is paramount. And marketers, I think, should always work closely together with compliance teams, legal teams, data protection office, and other functions to mitigate the risks. So we must always be transparent about data collection and use, and we need to ensure that we have a clear consumer consent. But let's break it down a little bit. So we've got all these tools and technologies that help us to use the data, to collect the data, to analyze and predict. But the trick is to keep it clean and to stay compliant. So it means being super clean with customers about data, what data you're collecting and why. For example, there's a good strategy, of course, opt-in strategies. Make sure that customers are in the driving seat and they choose what they share with you. Well, because when customers see that, they will respect their privacy enough. They will feel trust. They will more likely feel comfortable to share that valuable data with you. And also, you need to be ethical, of course, every time. You know, not long ago, I was surfing around and I found an online media that was a newspaper, and I was about to open one article and I saw a pop-up window. Do you give your consent to collect your cookies and share it with third parties? I think I click, I don't, I reject. And then I was moved back to the homepage. So to read the article, you need to accept that your data is shared. I don't find it particularly exciting. I think this is not a very ethical practice. So let's keep it real. Nobody wants to be, you know, treated like or feel like they're just data points and being traded around. To keep things right and make sure you're playing by the rules. And I think that that's how you keep customers happy and on board. And even when you're using their data up to your game. Okay.
I like that. Keep it very clean. And getting into more granular details, what metrics do you consider most valuable when you're measuring the success of a data-driven marketing campaign?
Now it's time to respond. It depends.
It depends.
Yeah, the answer is it depends. We already talked about it a little bit. So you need to know your objectives. But the answer is really it depends. It really varies case by case, depending on the type of the activity, your business sector, and even time of the year. Like, for example, can you really compare Christmas campaigns to summer holidays campaigns? I don't think so. Not always. Sometimes, yes, but not always. Yeah, so I think it's pretty straightforward that the selection of metrics should be aligned with the business objectives. So I think this is the key point.
No, 100%. It does vary in a use by, by use case. And that's why I quite liked how you very early on described the process of creating these campaigns. And really, you need to identify at the very start what you're trying to achieve in form of objectives, and then essentially mapping it out from there. And that is really what then drives the metrics by which you consider most valuable. And, I just want to touch on, some technology, some more emerging technologies, like you mentioned earlier, around blockchain and metaverse. What do you believe will significantly impact financial marketing? Which of these technologies, which of these emerging technologies, some of which we've lightly touched on, do you believe will significantly impact financial marketing in the next 5 years?
In the next 5 years.
Yes.
Okay. Well, again, AI, certainly. I think it's no surprise. I think it fills and you use advanced data analytics, the AI powers and computing powers. It's like having a crystal ball. It lets us predict the future in a way that, we can see trends before they go in mainstream and probably anticipate some moves by competitors. For example, if data shows that there's a rising trend in eco-friendly products, marketer can, shift the strategy to capitalize on it before everyone else catches on. I think it's not even a trend, it's a tool that is part of your daily life. I think Microsoft introduced a very good term, copilot. It's a copilot that supports the way you work. You're still in the driving seat. You're holding the steering wheel, but there's a copilot that can help you navigate, help guide you through, know something that you don't know. And also some consultants say that there's a general fear that people will be replaced by AI, but at the same time, consultants say that people will not be replaced by AI, but those who use AI will be replaced with those who don't. And you don't need to be a data scientist, machine learning architect, data engineer, but you need to find the right tools that support your activities. And in marketing, there are so many tools that can already now create amazing content, save you hundreds of hours. And it's just developed so fast, this famous test as Will Smith is eating spaghetti. 2 years ago, it was so creepy and blurry, and now it's hyper realistic. You would never believe that this is AI generated image. So yeah, I think AI, no doubt. Then again, I think there will be another chance for the metaverse in the next 5 years. Again, it's hard to predict, I think we live in the Renaissance, and we don't know what this AI-powered tools help us discover. It's really amazing. It's a fascinating time, and I would recommend everybody to stay curious and open-minded and follow the development of technology. And it is inevitable. Just try to be among the pioneers, the fast followers, not the forced followers, but fast followers. And attend webinars, join professional organizations, stay curious, stay open-minded. There's so much out there that can already now optimize your work.
I love that, and I like how you used that analogy with Microsoft's Copilot, which I use relatively often actually, and how you've described technology as being essentially in the driver's seat with you. You're still doing the piloting, you're still doing the navigation, but it's really there to support you and provide that extra, optimization. So why not just use it, right? And I love what you said about being a fast follower. So just keeping abreast with what's happening, keeping abreast of what technology is on the horizon, and finding ways to really use it to your advantage within your field of practice. Something else that you said that I really want to very quickly touch on before we, go to the final question is around, how we talked about hard data and soft skills within marketing. What is that balance, if at all? Does that balance even exist between automation, using AI, using all these tools, and human touch in digital customer engagement?
Yeah, it's all about the right balance, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, let's delve this down to everyday's level. I think a good metaphor that comes to my mind is automation, and all these tools are like a high-speed train. It gets you where you need to go fast and on time. It's great for heavy lifting, like sorting out customer questions or just analyzing large amounts of data. But there are times when you just need to switch tracks, and you need a car, you need a bicycle, and you need to take the steering wheel and drive where you want to go. And automation is wonderful, but again, marketing is psychology, and you need human touch. Well, Moyo, for example, can you tell me a successful example when you use the chatbot that really helped you to resolve your problem? Yeah, exactly. Same. It's so useless. You normally start with, "Hey bot, call me a human operator." This is, an example when automation does not really help. Yeah, maybe it helps to filter out other bots or inadequate requests, but still, human touch is really, really needed. Nobody wants to feel like they're just talking to a machine. Let's be real. We prefer human touch. Someone who actually listens, gets the problem, maybe even, cracks a joke to lighten the mood. But yeah, again, it's all about balance. Technology must be deployed thoughtfully, but it should not depersonalize the consumer experience.
I love that. I almost want to frame that. Technology should be deployed thoughtfully, but without, what was the last thing you said?
It should not depersonalize the
It
customer
should not
experience.
depersonalize
Yeah.
the user experience. That is amazing. I am going to get that framed and put it right on my study desk. Because I think that just captures it so beautifully. I think we need to get you on your own show, Oleg, where we just have these various analogies that you share with with everyone, because you describe it so nicely, and you almost give very complex ideas, because this is quite a complex topic, let's be real. But you make it so you simplify it in such a way that it creates a visual in your mind, and you have suddenly you have a clearer grasp of it, which is why I really wanted to get you on this podcast, because I think so many people can learn and really, garner a lot from you, not just marketers, but even people outside of the marketing field.
Well,
And
I'm
just
excited to be your guest on the show. Thank you.
thanks so much, Oleg. And so I guess that just brings us very nicely to the very last question in the series is, I know you've mentioned some of the tips and tricks along the way with previous responses, but I'm really curious, how do you think, or how do you reckon that marketers should stay ahead in a future where, in a future dominated by data and technology?
Well, what comes to my mind is the more you explore, the more you discover, So, yeah, try as many things as possible. Stay alert, follow the news, follow the technology, try out as many things as possible. Try yourself in different roles, try different areas, network. Sometimes, companies have an opportunity to work in another team just to get familiar with the processes. Network, join professional organizations, attend conferences. I really like attend business conferences and tech events when I'm on my holidays. When I go somewhere, I check in advance if there are any conference happening there that day, or alumni conferences from your universities. I still think that a combination of hard skills and soft skills is very important. And of course, speaking about hard skills, it's digital literacy. You need to be digital literate. You need to have good skills and understanding on the social media landscape, data analytics. Again, depends on your role, but again, the more you know, the better. If you have an appetite for something, if you're interested or passionate about something, develop that strength. It's very important. But also look what's around and understand the context. Read books, listen to podcasts, take courses, just be naturally curious to your area of expertise, to your domain where you work. And soft skills, don't forget about soft skills. It's not that easy to learn them. You can train everything, but such things as, for example, adaptability is amazing. You need to adapt, which everything changes so fast. For example, the team where I work changed the name 3 times in the past 3 years. So you need to adapt, you need to try different roles. You need to be very, very open to changes. You need to be a very good communicator. You need to be You need to have good empathy, and it's increasingly important. I don't know how to teach it. Probably there are courses, but there are some people who are naturally prone to it, or some people that less, well, I would say cold and maybe more business focused than people focused. I think it's also good to keep in mind that there were so many literature on that people should be at the workplace, if they want to succeed, should be equally warm and competent. So this combination gives the best result. You need to be a good person to work with. You need to be nice to be around at the workplace. You may be very, very, very competent, but if you're really hard to talk to, that wouldn't give you much advantage in the future. You mentioned this imagination and metaphors that I told you. Yeah, I think creativity is very important. Again, you can boost it with, watching futuristic movies, or I don't know, reading books and taking some painting courses. If you are in a creative role, this is very important. If not, but you feel that you are creative, still you need to create something. Only 1% of people create something. This is, being that 1%. Master transferable skills. This is another advice that I would give everyone. I mean, skills that you can apply in other professional areas outside of your role, in other countries, if you decide to change something, to something that could be easily transferred to another company, another role, another country. This is very, very important. Keep learning. Keep learning. You've got to keep up, take courses, get certifications, stay on top of the trend, know your stuff, and learn. We had a problem not long we had a program not long ago about skills of the future, and we, after a series of discussions, seminars, and talks, realized that you need to learn timeless skills. So if you're an expert in AI and metaverse today, tomorrow it's going to be quantum computing or something else. But if you're always curious, if you're always open-minded, passionate, hungry for knowledge, you will succeed. So yeah, be a pioneer or fast follower, not a forced follower. This is very important, I think.
I love that. I love that. And you and I have had conversations outside of this forum where we've talked about this. We've talked about how really that convergence between the hard skills and the soft skills is where the magic happens. And so you can't neglect one or the other. Be excellent, be curious, learn as technology is advancing and how there are new innovations on the horizon, know about it, use them to your advantage, but at the same time, you can't neglect the simple things. One of the best pieces of advice that a she's now an executive director at one of the largest investment banks in the world. And she said to me, she said, people underestimate the value and the importance of please and thank you. And she said, it makes a world of a difference. She says, really listen to people. Listen when they tell you some of their personal problems. And then remember the next time you see them, like follow up. If they've told you there's been a death in the family, remember that for the next conversation. How are they feeling? At the end of the day, people will vie for people that they like. And you've also talked about this to me around, likability. And so I find that, you can't really talk about one or the other. These two things really do emerge to form the whole. And I think that is, you've neatly described it and tidied it up in such a nice way, in the way that you've, talked about how we can stay curious. There's going to be something else tomorrow. There's going to be quantum computers next year, and there's going to be blockchain the year after, or we can't even predict what technology is going to put out. But that curiosity, that the state of the mind, the state of your attitude towards it, that you can control. And it's really important that we master the art of curiosity. I think that's a beautiful place to wrap this up today, Oleg. And I am, just before we round off, very quickly, I want to have a rapid, what I call a rapid fire session, where I will ask two questions that are just, random questions. You don't have to think too hard, and you will just respond in very short sentences. Should we try that?
Okay, let's try. I'm curious.
Awesome. Okay, so my first question for you is, what is one marketing campaign you wish you had come up with?
You know, what comes to my mind immediately is the KFC and Crocs, because it's so ridiculous. I couldn't even think that such partnership is possible. You know, Crocs, they created some sort of the new shoes that have a style
I
of
know
chicken
Crocs.
wings. Gosh, this is crazy. I wish I was the creator of this campaign, and I don't even know how to explain this to your top management that we need to launch this campaign and partnership. This is just ridiculously exciting. I love that.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, well, now I have to go look that up because I didn't even know about the marketing partnership between KFC and Crocs. Now I need to go look it up. Sounds really interesting. Okay, so my next question for you is, what is your biggest? So we've talked about all the things you love about technology, and I know we could sit here for hours and hours just unpacking the trends that you're currently excited by. But what is your biggest technology pet peeve? What is the one thing about technology that really irritates you?
Irritates me.
Yeah, that gets to you. You're just like, oh, I could do without that.
I don't want to sound boring, but I'm a little bit concerned about so many people glued to their phones, walking like zombies, forgetting about the nature, about human connection. When you talk to somebody and he is texting someone on WhatsApp, I've got a call a couple of days ago. A lady called me, and you know, it was a video call, and she called me and she said, "Hold up for a second." And she started typing something on WhatsApp. And then she was forgot about me. And then she's like, "Oh, I've just called you. Yeah. What I was wanted to tell you." So I think this overconsumption of digital devices, the crazy, crazily increasing screen time is really concerning. That irritates me a little bit, but still, there should be the right balance. Maybe sometimes you need a digital detox day. And use, you know, take Sunday as your digital detox day, and grab your old Nokia and enjoy the nature. Talk to your friends, call your mom, enjoy just the simple pleasures.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm with you on that one. I see sometimes when you go into restaurants and there's little kids under five just on their iPads and nobody's playing anymore. And I just thought that's not how I grew up. You know what? We grew up and we were playing hide and seek under the tables and, you know, running around and just getting that exercise in. But, you know, it's very concerning. And I think even
Yeah.
as millennials and, you know, even with the new generations coming in, I am definitely, that's why I got excited when you talk about digital detox, because I think I could very well do with purchasing an old Nokia. You know, it's nice to unplug and detox every now and again. But oh my gosh, this has been such an amazing conversation, Oleg. That brings us to the end of this session. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you. It has been fascinating. I can't wait to go back and listen back to this conversation, because even for me, there's pointers that I want to pull out for myself. And in, you know, for my expertise as well, that I think I will definitely benefit from. And I think, you know, there's so much value to the conversation and everything that you brought to us today. So thank you for this awesome chat. Thank you for, you know, shelling out some time in your very busy Friday today. And I look forward to chatting with you again. I know we'll have several other conversations, but thank you for doing this and just putting out to the world from your bank of knowledge. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bonnie. It was a pleasure. See you later. Thank you.
See you later. Bye.